May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the risen one. Amen. I want to talk about the gospel today, Luke 24. Please pray with me. Risen, gracious Lord Jesus, open our minds, open our hearts, open our ears to receive your holy word this day, to receive it with faith and repentance and gladness. We pray all this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, tie your shoelaces. Do some quick stretching, a little bit of exercising here, a little aerobics. Because today, we're going for a walk. Who wants to go for a walk on beautiful Mother's Day? Nobody wants to walk. It's not raining outside. We're not walking the dog. All right, no dogs allowed. It's not a power walk. All right, we're not going to do this stuff and lift weights and look silly. I'd last about a half a block on that one. No power walking, no dog. You don't need your headset to listen to all those tunes. Because this walk is with who? It's with Jesus. We don't need a headset. We don't need weights. We don't need the dog. We have Jesus. Let us ever walk with Jesus. That's a great theme of this gospel lesson. Let us ever walk with Jesus. This gospel is really a model of the Christian life. It is the end of the gospel of Luke, and Luke here gives us a model of kind of the Christian life. We're all walking. Clopas and the other disciple were told. We don't know who this other disciple was. I suggest the other disciple represents you and I. This is the Holy Spirit's way of drawing us into the story. That man, whoever it was, he represents you and I. We are the other disciple walking with Clopas, walking with Jesus. And they're walking to Emmaus, 7 miles outside of Jerusalem. Emmaus literally means hot bath. Maybe it was like a resort area, like Pigeon Forge or Gatlinburg or something like that, where you could take a massage and a hot bath. It was like a vacation spot outside Jerusalem. They're burned out, they're tired, they're sad because they thought Jesus was dead. And they're going there to Emmaus, vacation, rest, get away from all of it. And so, we all want to go where? Heaven. Heaven is our Emmaus, our resort, where we get the hot bath of God's love and peace and the Spirit every day, forever and ever and ever. We can't wait to get there. And we're walking. And we are to walk with Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the one that will get us there and inspire us as we walk on the way. Don't lag behind. Are you lagging behind in your walk? Don't lag behind. Don't try to run ahead and lead Jesus to where you want him to go. Don't stray off in some other path. Walk with Jesus. This is the example of Clopas and the other disciple. They walk with Jesus to Emmaus. We walk with him to heaven. And when you walk with him, three things happen. This is the best, most invigorating walk you'll ever have in life. Three things happen when you walk with Jesus. You learn, and you yearn, and you burn. That's what happens when you walk with Christ. That doesn't happen with it all. With Christ, you learn, and you yearn, and you burn. And that's the Christian walk modeled here in Luke 24. First of all, you learn. When you walk with Jesus in life, you learn and you learn and you listen some more. You listen some more and you learn. You grow in faith. You grow in knowledge, all from Jesus. If you're not learning, you're not into the Word of God, are you really walking with Him, or are you, again, lagging behind or off on some other path somewhere, interested in something else in life? Clopas and the other disciple walk with Christ. It's 7 miles. I told you it's about probably, what is that, 2-hour walk? And it appears about the entire time, Clopas and this other disciple representing you and I, they are listening the entire time. Jesus does most of the talking, and they just sit and listen. They express to Jesus, they don't know it's Jesus yet, they express to him their sadness that this Jesus had been crucified. They thought he might be the one, but he's not. And then we read this incredible little Bible verse there where it says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets. That's the entire Old Testament, folks. That's the 39 books of the Old Testament. Beginning with all that, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So on this walk, Jesus does the teaching. They do the listening, the learning. And he gives an Old Testament overview, we call it, in about 2 hours. He reviews all the prophecies and people and events of the Old Testament to explain how the Christ must die. Not an accident, not some horrible thing that happened. He was supposed to die and then rise for the salvation of the world. It's all there in the Old Testament. He has a Bible study with him. They are to learn and learn and grow in faith and knowledge. Wow, we didn't know all that. Tell us some more. And notice on this walk, never once do they interrupt him. Never once do they cut him off. Let's talk about the ball game, Jesus. Never once do they have something else to do. They don't lag behind. They don't have to take a break. They're all ears. They are like a dry sponge soaking up the words of eternal life from Jesus. They can't get enough of Jesus. And that's a mark of a disciple. One who is teachable. Who truly loves the Word of God and wants to grow in knowledge and faith always. Walking with Christ, learning from Christ. You know what the name Clopas means? The name Clopas means having a great father. Having a renowned father. And I suggest that's exactly what Clopas learns on that walk with Jesus. He learns he has a great father. A father in heaven. He learns from Jesus that God is not far away. God is not some fire that wants to burn you up. But he learns that God is his father. A father who loved him so much that he gave his son. His son's talking to them right then. His son died on the cross for sins, rose again that we may all have eternal life. He learns he has a loving father who forgives him his sins, who is reconciled to him. He's going to take him to heaven. That's what he learns. And that's the purpose of Bible study and sermons and everything else. That you learn you have a loving father who gave his son for you. His son died for your sins, rose again. You are forgiven. You're at peace with God. You have eternal life. This leads to this little insert I have in your bulletin for First Luther members and for visitors. Pastor Roberts and I are having a Bible reading challenge through the summer. June, July, and August is printed there. I'm not going to read over the whole thing. We are challenging the congregation for visitors to read the New Testament over the summer months. About 90 to 100 days there. It takes about 2 or 3 chapters a day. Can you read 2 or 3 chapters of God's Word a day, friend? And reread it again and meditate on it 20 minutes, a half hour perhaps? Don't say you have other things to do. Nothing's more important than the Word of God, okay? Accept the challenge. Read the Bible, the New Testament. Next year will be the part of the Old Testament. Next year, the next part of the Old Testament. Read, study, grow. And then Pastor Roberts on the Sunday mornings in Bible class will review the chapters you've read to hit the highlights on those chapters that you have read. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly is the theme. Do it. You taking mom out for lunch? How many of you for Mother's Day lunch are going to have Gerber's baby food? Here's your bottle, Mom, and here's your little bitty thing of Gerber's baby. Make it peas or green beans. Of course not. Maybe the baby will have that, but not us adults. We'll have a steak, a lobster, whatever. Mom's worth it. Many of us, when it comes to God's Word, are still eating baby food. We just like the simple, shallow things. We don't know a whole lot about it, nor do we want to. We don't just give me the baby food. It's time to grow up. Learn, read, study. Take on some meat. Secondly, when you walk with Jesus, you learn a lot, then you yearn. Goes right with it. You yearn for even more. You're never content. You're never really satisfied. You are, but you're really not, because you always want more. You have this unquenchable desire, this unquenchable hunger and thirst to be with Jesus. You're never tired of Jesus. The day never ends with Jesus. Luke 24, you get the appearance, this day never ends. It just goes on and on and on and just never ends. That's the way it is with Jesus. The day never ends. I want more of you, Jesus, more of you, Jesus. I can't get enough of you, Jesus. They've just walked 7 miles with him. They've had this intense Bible study, learning. You think, okay, Jesus, you know, we'll see you later. It's nice talking to you. Bye. No. He acted as if he was going farther. Notice that. Jesus acts like he will go further. You see, Jesus will not force his way into your life. He will not knock down the door to your heart and say, I demand to get in. All right, he acts like he's going to go further. Jesus wants to be invited. He wants you to yearn for him like he yearns for you. He won't force it on you. The Bible says he stands at the door and knocks. He doesn't bust down the door and say, I'm here, I'm king, I'm Lord. You're going to believe in me whether you want to or not. He knocks. Will you let me in? I want to give you my word. I want to love you and guide you and forgive you and help you. Will you yearn for me too? That's why he acts like he's going a little further. He wants to be invited. And notice they give the invitation. They urged him strongly. They urged him strongly. Not a polite, hey, you want to stay? We really don't want you to, but will you stay? They urged him strongly, saying, stay with us. It's almost evening. The day is far spent. So he went in and stayed with them. And then he has a meal with them. Breaks bread with them. This is Holy Communion for the church. We hear the word of God, then we commune. We break bread. Their eyes are open. It's the opposite of the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve ate the forbidden food and their eyes were open, they saw their sin, their nakedness. Oh no, I'm a sinner. I'm naked. Look at me. And now when they have communion, the true, wonderful food of Jesus' body and blood, their eyes are open and they see a Savior. I'm saved and redeemed. I'm forgiven. Wow. I have a God who loves me. They yearn to be with Him all night long. Eat with Him. Learn more from Him. They can't get enough. Christ says, yearn for me like I yearn for you. I read a true story of a couple in Michigan that are getting married. And they're going to get married in Las Vegas. True story. This is romantic. I know it's Mother's Day. It's not Valentine's Day, but very romantic, loving story. And they're to get from Michigan to Las Vegas, they're not going to fly in a plane. They're not going to a drive. They're going to walk. They're going to walk the 2,500 miles, about 6 or 7 months. They're going to walk hand in hand, giggling and laughing, talking. They love each other. They can't get enough of each other. You know, leaping and jumping, walking from town to town. They're going to walk all the way, 6, 7 months, 2,500 miles. Isn't that sweet? I give it about 2 weeks. They'll be looking for a car. How long will it last? How long will your relationship with Jesus last? Are you walking with Him? You're going a different path. Trying to pull Him ahead somewhere where you're going. He's on the way to Emmaus, to heaven. That's where He wants to take you. And all the other blessings that, until we get there. You know, Jesus wants to walk with us longer than 2,500 miles or 6 and 7 months. He wants to walk with us 60, 70, 80, 90 years. Every day to hold our hand because He loves us. We're His bride after all. He loves us. He's the great bridegroom. He married us at the cross saying, I love you this much. Don't you love me? He wants to hold your hand 24/7 through 70, 80, 90 years of life to guide you, lead you, be your good shepherd, forgive you your sins, help you, give you peace. He yearns for you. Do you yearn for Him? Last of all, when you walk with Christ, you burn. Ah, it's a good burn though. You burn with zeal and love and joy and peace because you've been with Jesus. Notice after they eat with Christ and they're with Him that day, notice they say to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us on the road, while He opened the Scriptures to us? Did not our hearts burn within us? They have such faith now and joy and peace. It all makes sense now of why He died for their sins. He rose again. They're reconciled to God. They're going to go to heaven. Ah, it all makes sense. They burn now with joy and peace. And the word here for burn literally means an uncontrollable desire to shout. They had this uncontrollable desire just to shout. They got to shout praise to God. They got to tell somebody what has happened. That's why then, amazingly, they go back to Jerusalem. They run back 7 miles back to town and tell the disciples. These guys are amazing. They walk 7 miles out with Jesus. Now they run back that night. It's late at night, apparently. They run all the way back. They can't wait till the morning. They got to run back and tell the disciples. They got to get the news out. They have such joy and peace. Praising God, proclaiming it to their neighbor. Are you burning today? Or are you burned out? End of a school year. Life is tiring, burdensome. You're burned out? Where do you go to be set on fire again? Where do you go? Clopas and this other disciple are sad and downcast. They're burned out. But then at the end of the text, they're burning. What's the difference? They've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. You're burned out? Get close to Jesus. Gather around His Word. Pray to Him. Worship Him. Come to His supper. Be close to Jesus. Walk with Him. there was a survey done among people asking them, who is your favorite action hero in the movies? Think of all the movies you've seen that are out there, have been out there. Your favorite action hero. At the top of the list of the top five was James Bond. Don't we all like James Bond, even though he's from England? Sorry about that, Keith. And James Bond was up there, though. Braveheart was, I love Braveheart. The Gladiator, Russell Crowe, right? Tough guy, the Gladiator. Reminds me of me with my brothers when I was growing up. Tough. At the top of the list, the number one action hero in the movies was Indiana Jones. Of course. With a name like Indiana, right? Yeah. Indiana Jones. The adventure of those movies. Ah, the adventure. Is he going to get out of this problem? What's going to happen? How's he going to escape? Is he going to do what he's supposed to do? Wow, the adventure. You're thrilled in here. It's amazing. You're thrilled. You're on fire. Edge of your seat, I was. Oh, it's exciting. 2 hours. Then the movie's over. And you go back in your car to your depressing, boring life, perhaps. With a sick stomach because of all the popcorn you ate, if you're like me. Where is the person? Who is the person who can really thrill me for more than 2 hours? Who can really set my heart on fire and give me joy and peace? Not an action hero, friend. Not an action hero. But the Almighty Son of God, who died for your sins and rose again, who loves you and is with you and walks with you. May He set your heart on fire today. The best, most invigorating walk you can ever take, walking with Jesus. You learn, you yearn for more, and you burn with joy. Let us ever walk with Jesus. Say with me, let us ever walk with Jesus. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's rise and confess.